So why are these chairs on the front of the stage? I've been asked that already, and I'm not giving the answer yet. But I will tell you, I was very, very tempted during that last song to come and stand in front of the chair like I usually do. Just stand, you know, that's just me because I'm crazy. You'll have to wait and see why they're there, but hopefully the reason they're there is something that will light a fire in us for a long time to come. About a month ago, or in fact, it was a month ago now, of course, we were blessed to have Kino Schramm come be with us for a refresh Sunday. I had to be out of town that Sunday, but listening to the lessons later has been very encouraging. And as you know, if you've been here on most of the Sunday mornings since, we have been involved in a series of lessons dealing with evangelism. That's been hopefully encouraging to us. We have one more lesson to go in that series. Noah will preach that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. But part of the reason we have that series of lessons is to remind us that evangelism is not a program. Evangelism is the lifeblood of a congregation. It's a culture. It's a DNA. We sometimes refer to it as the marching orders of the church. It's something we never check off our list. We might finish certain aspects of it from time to time, but actually just doing evangelism, quote unquote, we will never check off our list so long as people are lost and without Jesus. But tonight after services, and yes, my sermon is shorter, so don't get worried when I say those words. We're going to have a little discussion about another way we hope to involve ourselves in that work, and that is connected with the chairs. But we're going to think about how to be reaching into our community in a specific way. But I want to say something specific about that right as we get started. There are a lot of Christians who, when they hear the mindset of reaching into the community, begin to think sometimes about only doing good things for the sake of doing good things. What I mean is, sometimes they might be glad that a congregation decides to beautify a community or something like that, cleaning a park or painting a school, and those things are great, but sometimes the work becomes an end in itself. But we have to remember, we are not just another community group. We are the church of Christ. And so all that we do is to be done to His glory. And everything that we do is to have an intention of drawing souls closer to Him. That should be our reason for anything that we do. Everything you do, do to the glory of God, the Bible tells us. If no one is won to the Lord, it should never be because that was not our intention in doing that. And so with that said, for a few minutes tonight, I want us to turn to a passage that most of us could probably quote. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And using that one verse and just a couple of thoughts before it, I want us to think about some observations about what an evangelistic church must be. And hopefully this lesson sets the stage for the conversation Noah and I will be having after our services tonight. What must an evangelistic church be? Well, in the verse, Jesus, of course, said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Three observations from that well-known verse. First of all, an evangelistic church must be visible. I get that from the phrase that opens the verse, in the same way. Because if you look up at the previous couple of verses of Matthew chapter 5, you have those famous illustrations that Jesus gave to describe those who would listen to Him. He described them as, you are the salt of the earth in verse 13. He described them as, you are the light of the world in verse 14. And He even went further with that one by saying, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And it seems to me that second illustration, the light of the world, the city set on a hill, that illustration is the one that most naturally connects with the beginning of verse 16. But look at verses 14 and 15 in full. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then Jesus said, in the same way. You light a candle in order to use that candle. Maybe you use that candle to light up a particular area. Maybe you light a candle to complete some task, to read something, or to take care of something. But it simply will not do to light that candle and then stick it under some type of basket or something. For a candle to work, it must be out where it is going to light the way, out where it's going to light the area. It has to be visible. And so in the same way then, for a congregation to be spreading the message of Jesus, it has to be out in the open. It has to be visible. And that visibility has to have at least two qualities. You can think of many others. If we're going to follow what Jesus is saying here, one of those qualities is it must come from within. Not within that we want attention, but what I mean is it must be our inward desire. It must come from within us. Jesus calls it your light. Let your light so shine before others. I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. But if I see you doing it, then I'm more motivated to also do it. I grow in my desire, especially when I'm connecting it with the message of Jesus. But then also, it must be continual. A candle will not really do its job if you light it and then put it out. And then light it and then put it out. Maybe your power goes out for a couple of days and you're having to do things around the house. Maybe you're having to eat by candlelight or something like that, which sounds all romantic unless you don't have any power. But maybe you're having to do it for a moment. Well, that doesn't work so well if you're having to relight the candle every 30 seconds in order to finish the meal. We understand you light the candle and you complete the task throughout the life of that candle. If we're to let our light shine, that letting our light shine must continually go on. A congregation must be visible. I've said it before, but I'll say it again, and probably will say it again many times in the future. As much as some of us might long for the days when you could just put some kind of vinyl sign out in the front yard inviting people to a gospel meeting and people would just flood through the front doors, those days are decades in the past. A congregation must flood the world with light to be drawn to the message, or to even think about, I should say, being drawn to the message of Jesus. And we live in a world that is so dark, a culture that is so dark, that we must continually flood it with light. I and you and we must light be visible by shining our light. But also, an evangelistic church must be vibrant. Jesus goes on to say, "So then let your light so shine that they may see your good works." When you read that little phrase, "so shine that they may see your good works," do you not just feel a vibrancy? Do you not just feel a level of activity, of energy and dedication? For a congregation to be evangelistic, there must be an energy to it. Now, this may seem like a detour, but I don't mean for it to be. Sometimes when we think about a congregation's energy, all we're talking about is just busyness. And sometimes some of that busyness is not evangelistic. I'm thankful that here at Central this year, we have set aside a few very specific events that we're calling our family events. Another one's coming up in a couple of weeks. Our Lads to Leaders kickoff on May the 11th, I think. Yes, no one's going, yes. Okay, I knew it was May, but I've had a long weekend. So sometime in May. But everyone's encouraged to be part of that. Vacation Bible School, everyone's encouraged to be part of that. And there's a time for that activity to build us up, to help with unity and connection, those sorts of things. But for a congregation to be evangelistic, a tremendous amount of energy or vibrancy needs to be spent reaching the lost. If we are just busy doing things all the time with no telling what's behind it, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about evangelistic vibrancy. And if we're very honest, a lot of congregations drift, and naturally so, toward one of two things. Sometimes they're just busy being busy. Whatever we can think of to throw on the calendar, we just throw it on the calendar. And quite often, it stays on the calendar because of five famous words. Because we've always done that. And it's never thought about, do we still need to be doing that? That's no more than five words. But we just keep getting busier and busier and busier doing this and this and this and this and this. Or sometimes a congregation becomes very, very busy just doing things for themselves. And yes, as I just mentioned, there is a time to do things, to build ourselves up, to encourage ourselves as a family, to grow in unity and connection. But Jesus said we must shine our lights, before others, not before yourselves, and not just for yourself. But let your light so shine before others. There needs to be a vibrancy in our light shining before other people who do not know Jesus, but who need that same light in their life. As I mentioned a few minutes after our services, we're going to talk about a way, hopefully, to encourage that. But I hope it's just one piece of the puzzle, not the entire thing. All of us must have an energy and excitement and spend the time reaching the lost, but also An evangelistic church must be vocal. And you're glancing down at verse 16 and going, Jesus doesn't say anything in verse 16 about saying a word. There's nothing in Matthew 5:16 about preaching a sermon or teaching a class or holding a Bible lesson or anything like that. But look at the last part of the verse again. So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let me ask a logical question. How will those who are lost, how will the others, if you will, know how to glorify our Father when we do good works unless we vocalize that that's the connection? There are a lot of people who do a lot of good things, and we're thankful for that. But only when we say, this is being done because I love God, or because God loves you, or there's some connection between the Father in heaven and this particular action or activity or good deed, we have to speak a word about God. Now, that doesn't mean that you finish doing something good for someone and say, okay, now sit down, I'm about to preach to you 45 minutes on the book of Ezekiel. Please don't do that. It's not necessarily a sermon or anything like that. Quite often, it is just simply saying a simple word about how I love God enough that I want to serve Him in this way, or I love you enough that I wanted to honor you by honoring my God. It's something very, very simple, where there's an obvious connection between this kind act, this good deed, this help, and the Father in heaven. And if this goes back, by the way, to how we began this lesson, there are a lot of people, and they're well-intentioned. I don't want to make fun of them in the least, but I want us all to be thinking. There are a lot of people who miss this point. There are a lot of people who want the church to do a lot of good things, but they either don't ever say anything connecting with God, or there are some who seek the glory for themselves. We must be about the kind of people who do the acts of kindness and make sure there is no question that this is being done to the glory of God. And that requires saying something. It takes being humble and letting people know that this was done not because I'm anything special, but because we serve a very special God. And only then is there a direct line between the act of kindness and helping people see that God is the reason for good, and that God is the solution to any problem in life. And then there is a possible path with prayer, with time, with effort, to hopefully help that person study the Scriptures more about more important things than just some kind act that was done in their behalf. And someone may listen to a lesson like this and you're going, is he already at the conclusion? Yes, he is. I told you he's going to preach short tonight. You may listen to a lesson like this and go, yeah, but I'm thinking around the room and I'm thinking about here at Central, and not to be discouraging, but man, not everybody's like that. Not everybody here is like that. And maybe that's true. But should that ever stop me? Just because everybody else doesn't get this, should that stop me? Maybe it should. Because my time's up. I told you I was preaching short. Because sorry, that was too good. Because Jesus said, let your light shine. And yeah, that may mean that sometimes even a fellow Christian doesn't. But that should never stop me. And it should never stop you. But when more and more and more of us begin to have this mindset and begin to see that my light can shine, and your light can shine, and your light can shine, and your light can shine, that continues the motivation for the congregation to shine a light that's brighter than anything else in the entire community. We need to make sure, and I say this to myself as much as anyone else, that we are not just a busy church. We need to make certain that we're not just an activities church. We need to make certain that we are a church that is centered on winning people to the same one who saved us and whose name we wear, and that is Jesus Christ. I hope in a few minutes you'll stay around. No one aren't going to talk for long. But hopefully you'll stay around to see why these chairs are up here and another piece of the puzzle. But for right now, let's not skip forward to that. Let's think about ourselves for a moment. And then we ask a very simple, what may sound like elementary question. But I don't mean it to be an elementary question. I mean it to be a very, very, very sincere question. When our children sing this little song, could you sing along with them in truth? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's an easy song to sing, in part because it's fun. But when I sing it, am I singing the truth? And maybe for you the answer is, you know, really it hasn't been. Maybe I've kind of let Satan it out. Or maybe I've hidden it under a bushel. No. But instead, all around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. And maybe tonight that's the confession you need to make. That something has caused your light to not shine brightly. And you want to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. If you need to do that this evening, will you come? Always stand and sing to encourage you. So we finally found a use for this really long cord. We can hand this back and forth. Since we had a couple of responses this evening, Noah and I had already planned to keep this fairly brief, but since we had a couple of responses, we know you're itching to come and hug Brent and Debbie, and so that's going to motivate us to move along with this for sure. But I hope you saw some things in the bulletin. I hope you saw some things online about what we're getting ready to do, because one of the goals that we had, is that on there? Yeah. One of the goals we had for our five-year vision has to do with being more involved in community, specifically community classes. And so some time ago, Noah and I met with the elders, and we asked them if we could take a little bit of time to do more than just a quick little announcement, but also not take like an entire worship service to talk about this. And so this was kind of the idea we came up with, was to have us sit in very nice, plush, comfortable chairs and just have a little bit of a conversation about this. So, Noah, before we talk about the specific goal, remind folks about the five-year vision we've got. Then we'll get into this specific goal we're going to talk about the next few minutes.
Yeah, so just quick recap. Most of you know the five-year vision, but if we have any guests or maybe new members, this year started a five-year vision that our elders laid out for us for reaching our community and the world. But a lot of the goals are specific to our community and how we can better reach the people around us so that they too can know God, they can have a relationship with Him, they can be a part of His family here at Central. And so there's a lot of little pieces that are a part of that. And that's one of those pages in the bulletin that Bryant pointed out. It will show you what all those are. I won't talk about all of them. But it's reaching our community. The goals over there on that board are part of that as well, keeping us accountable to that. And so our five-year vision is all about outreach and sharing Jesus with the lost.
I need to change a couple of numbers on that board. We had a couple of Bible studies, I think it was on Friday. I need to change that. I forgot this morning. But one of those goals specifically has to do with what we've simply titled community classes. And if you haven't seen the goal itself, by the way, there's a page on our website that lists the goals, and we actually have a tracker on there as well to keep ourselves accountable. But one of those goals in our five-year vision, this is the goal word for word, to be offering training and classes to our community for various life skills. And with that, I hope you can see why I preached what I preached tonight, that we're thinking about reaching out to the community, or we're thinking about reaching out to the community with a very specific purpose. And that purpose, of course, ultimately is to share Jesus with people, to be evangelistic with people. So before we get into the yes, let's do the negative first. We're thinking about some, I should have printed out my slides, so I know what's coming next. Here are some reasons why we want to do this. Then we'll get into the negative. One reason we want to do this is we need to remember that God cares for the whole person. Yes, God cares for the soul ultimately. But read through the Bible and you're going to see that God cares for people, their health, their families, their relationships. God cares for the whole individual. And we need to show people that as well. That phrase that begins the second line of the slide, the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's sort of a trite statement, but every one of us knows it's true. That we're not going to listen to people if they act like they can't stand us. And so that plays into this as well. And it also is important for us to think about this because the church itself benefits from Christians who are capable in different areas. Talk about the body concept, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and elsewhere, where you 1 Corinthians 12, where you have, you know, the eye and the ear and all those different things where different people are capable. But the more we build that capability, the more it aids the church as well. And then tonight's sermon, we're commanded to do this, to let our light shine before others so they can see good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. So with that then, let's think about what we are not talking about. Noah, we're not just talking about doing service, and we're not just talking about worldly wisdom. So talk about those couple things for a moment.
Something that, with my parents being in mission work, something that we'd see a lot from other groups is religious groups. They would go to an area and they would do a lot of great things, whether it's benevolent work or financial, giving of financial resources. And they were really great things done in the name of Jesus, but there was nothing really taught about Jesus. And so once they left, or once the good things stopped, all that work kind of evaporated. There was nothing deeper than that. And so what we want to do in our community, in the way that we serve people, in the way that we do benevolent things, in the way that we teach people how to make a living or hone a craft, we want that to connect to God, to something deeper, to something that's going to last. Not just how to do something, but how do you do this for the kingdom? Why do you do this for God, not just yourself? So not just the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God, how to do that in a meaningful way, in a way that lasts beyond the person who teaches you how to do it.
So here's one example. This is sort of where the brainstorm began. This, by the way, this slide is not up there because we're trying to replicate what another congregation is doing. But I put this up there in case you want to go home and look this up, kind of get an idea of sort of where the spark was begun, I guess. The Kensington Wood Church of Christ is in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. That's the home of Southern Miss University, Southern Miss University, or University of Southern Miss, whichever way that way is. And their congregation is, in fact, one of their preachers by trade is a metal worker, a machinist. And so they began a few years ago what they call now Next Tech Academy. It was originally just a small class that he and some others who were in that world, the machinist world, began just to train some people on how to be a machinist. However, to agree to be part of, quote-unquote, the academy, to be a part of each of the lessons, you signed a form that said you would agree to a Bible study before the machinist lesson began. So you didn't just come and learn how to be a better machinist. You learned Scripture and why that was important while you learned this particular trade. And I would highly recommend you go on their website. I believe they have a YouTube video as well, but they have a whole webpage on their website that talks about this specifically. And that sparked our interest. We're not trying to start a machinist class necessarily, because you don't want me doing that unless you want to burn down the city of Paducah. But this was sort of the impetus, like, wait a minute, there's a congregation that is taking a need in their community. One of their preachers, Chris Donovan, will talk about how that area, Southern Mississippi, Hattiesburg, that area, has a very, very high unemployment rate. Very high. And so this is a way where they can train individuals in a trade that then helps the community, because it helps with the employment rate. It helps these individuals and families, obviously financially and everything else, but you don't take this class unless you agree to study the Bible every time you are in class. Like Noah said, connecting it with the kingdom. This is not just get a job. This is not just make more money. This is something that God wants to see, if I may put it this way, the world beautified. A skill connected with His Word. That was sort of the impetus or the spark behind our thinking. We began a long time ago and we're sort of presenting tonight. Here are, Noah, I'm going to let you go through this list. This is not meant to be the list. Noah and I sat down for a grand total of 97 seconds, I think, and came up with this slide of just some ideas, examples that we had in mind of possibilities.
Yeah, so these are obviously not exhaustive, but the idea behind this are, what are things that are going to help anybody be a better human, a better Christian, a better responsible individual within society, but do that from a Christian perspective. There's a lot of people that don't know how to balance a checkbook, right? and maybe not a checkbook, because I know checks are kind of going the way of the dinosaur, but There are a lot of people that don't know how to have a monthly budget. If you don't have a monthly budget, how do you have a household, you know, that stays in the green each month? And if you can't stay in the green each month, how do you give back to God? Because you've got nothing left over to give. So it's not just about, you know, can you have a good budget at home? It's about, can you be a responsible Christian who's actually giving to the kingdom? That's just one example. Parenting, I mean, if our kids aren't being raised to be responsible individuals, let alone Christians, that has huge implications for the future. So how do you teach somebody to be a Christian parent and parenting techniques? Because guys, there's not a lot of classes out there for parents. I think it should be illegal to have a kid unless you go through a parenting class. And I don't even have a kid, I know. But I think there should be. That's what I want. I want there to be a parenting class for me and for anybody that has a kid, because that's so important. Every single person is important, and they should be raised to be the best they can be. So how do we parent people in a Christian way? And you can go through the list. But all these things, yeah, you could take it from a secular kind of line and just say, okay, here's how you balance a budget. How do you balance a budget as a Christian? Where does giving play into that role? Where does charity and benevolence, where does sacrifice? And how do you do that in a way that builds wealth for you, but also for the kingdom, so that you can do more than you would have ever done before? And there's all kinds of examples, and there's probably 100 examples on your minds that aren't on the screen right now. But that's the kind of examples of things we're talking about and thinking about.
And as we said, this is not meant to be the list. This was a quick brainstorming session. I think the next slide actually says something about that. But no one, I came with this list in about a minute and a half, just so we'd have examples really for us to remember to talk about. But the key is for us to be thinking about other areas, and for you to be thinking about other areas. Maybe there's something that you say, either you could teach, or this is something I would like to learn. And if I want to learn it, surely someone else out there who's not a Christian could benefit from this as well. We want all kinds of ideas, because we want not to become the community center. We want to become a place where people know that God's Word has guidance for every area of life. Everything flows from the wisdom of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. That's not just a quote-unquote get saved verse. That's a verse about life. Anything that's good comes from Him. And we need to show people how these good things come from Him, from His wisdom, from His Word. And so if you think of other areas, let us know. That's fine. And keep that in mind. So the question becomes, okay, where do we go from here? Because this sounds like a good idea, but it's all up here in the clouds somewhere. We want to begin brainstorming like tonight, immediately. You're probably thinking, man, I've always wanted to teach this. And I've always wanted to have an opportunity to teach this, not necessarily in a Bible class, but just on a Tuesday afternoon or a Thursday morning when I'm not at work or something. We want tons of ideas. But it doesn't mean we have to start the classes tomorrow. We want to make sure we have an opportunity to advertise, not in fancy ways. By the way, our goal is not to have, if you want to offer a class on finances or whatever, if two people come, that's a win. This is not, we have to fill a classroom with 45 people. No. In fact, some of these areas that you're thinking of, it might be better if only one or two or three people were there, because now you can be more one-on-one and more hands-on and have more an impact on their life than if you're trying to teach a room of, you know, I've known congregations that offer some particular thing, but they cancel it because 50 people didn't sign up. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you offering a skill or a teaching connected with God's Word, and if one or two or three people are there, praise God for those one or two or three people, because they're seeing God's wisdom for their life in an area where they desperately need it and desperately want it, and will then, to use our phrase, beautify the community in that way. And so if you begin to brainstorm ideas, one of our sort of fuzzy goals is to begin advertising some of these at Vacation Bible School, which is the 1st of June. Now, if you think of one in July, well, you're done. We hope this goes on literally for decades from tonight. This is not a we're going to do this for the next two or three months. this is something we want to become, again, part of that DNA culture of the congregation here at Central. And then we, as best we can, will use things like social media, flyers, and other things to advertise. But if you know of two or three people, gather those two or three people, and that can be your class, your group, and that's fine. That's fine. So then the other question becomes the next steps. And I'll let you talk about sort of what people need to, if I may put it this way, present to the elders or whatever about ideas.
Also, by the way, I was joking about the parenting thing, but next steps. Yeah, for those watching online, for those who come at me after this. Next steps, if you do have an idea that you are passionate about that you think you could do or you could be, at least be a part of, you need to, you know, put that in writing and kind of flesh out a few of the details because, you know, plans often don't happen until the details come together. And so, you know, what type of class do you want to have? What kind of need does it fill? Does it address that people have? You know, kind of like the example of Mississippi, there's a real need in that community for employment. So what's the need? How do you plan to teach it? What does that look like? How does it connect to the Bible, to the kingdom? What would that look like as far as even like the day of the week or the times or the, you know, where would you meet, those kind of things? Any budget considerations? Some classes may not need that, but some classes may need supplies, may need certain things that you're going to work with. So what does that look like? How long would you go? You know, would it just be a kind of a 5-class series? Would you need longer, less? What would that look like? And then put that in kind of a written form to give to the elders so that they could look over that and see how that could fit in and could be pulled off. And so the more concrete the details, the better in terms of next steps.
Let me make one more thing. I think the last slide's coming up, and it's just a slide reminding us to pray. But I mentioned this briefly, but I want to make sure I've drilled down for a moment. This is not meant to be a replacement for Sunday morning and Wednesday night Bible class. This is when you can meet. You may say, I'm wanting to teach some particular area, but the only time I could do this is Thursday morning. Folks, I want this building to be used all week long. Church buildings and football stadiums are the least economical buildings in the world, especially football stadiums, right? A college football stadium costs $30 million. It's used 8 times a year, okay? But church buildings are basically next because most of the week, Sherry, Noah, and I are here. I would love somebody to call the building and say, man, why is there 3 or 4 cars building? Oh, there's a community class about XYZ going on at Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And by the way, there's another one meeting at 3 o'clock about some other area. Whenever you could teach, we would love for the building or whatever needs to be used because we want the community impacted for the kingdom. And we want people to see that. We want them to know that we are the place they come to make that connection between their lives, their needs in their lives, and the message of God. I hope this excites you. I hope you've got 1,000 ideas. Some of you are going, I just want supper. Okay, I get it. But I hope this excites you that we are trying to be a congregation that has vision. That we're trying to be a congregation that doesn't just say, hey, come to us, we'll teach you. No, we're going to be a congregation that says, we're going to help you and connect that help with the teaching that's the ultimate teaching. And that's the teaching of Jesus and the kingdom. So again, if you have ideas, you know, start spreading them around. That's great. This is going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of organization. We understand that. But we are far more than willing to work on this and to make certain this vision comes to fruition in the coming weeks and months and hopefully years to come. So Noah, if you would lead us in a prayer. After that, make sure you come hug the folks who responded this evening and then start sharing ideas and dreaming about the future.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. The time we get to come once a week and be with our church family, get to encourage each other, get to worship you, to think about you and learn about you. Help us to share that joy and that blessing with other people so that they can be a part of that too. Thank you for the many talents that are in this room, all the different skills and occupations represented, the things that make our communities better and the people around us better. Help us to use those in a way that can help other people be better versions of themselves, be the type of people that you created them to be. Help us to always be on mission for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.